Welfare and health of the contract laborers. The facilities required to be provided under Section 18 and 19 of the Act, namely sufficient supply of wholesome drinking water, a sufficient number of latrines and urinals, washing facilities and first aid facilities, shall be provided by the contractor. In the case of the existing establishment, within 7 days of the commencement of this rules, and in the case of new establishment, within 7 days of the commencement of the employment of contract labor therein. So here the rule 40 talks about all welfare and health related provisions to be implemented by the contractor if this contract laborers are working outside the establishment. Now when I'm talking about L&T, as a primary employer, they might hire contract labor. Some of them may be working in the establishment itself, or maybe there are several sites wherein they will be working. So if they are working on sites, it becomes primary responsibility of the contractor to provide them certain minimum facilities which are being mentioned here, like sufficient supply of drinking water, then proper places for urinals and latrines to be arranged by the contractor for their labors. Then talking about the first aid box, so generally all these rules are even mentioned in Factories Act 1948, but then contractor also is binded to provide all this minimum requirements in case the contract labor is not working in the establishment. But at the same time, if any contract labor is working within the establishment, it not only becomes the responsibility of contractor, but also becomes the responsibility of primary employer, because contractor will not be in that position to build the infrastructure within the establishment. So it becomes responsibility of the primary employer to facilitate all the contract labors, the minimum requirements which are being listed in Rule 40. In every place wherein contract labor is required to halt at night in connection with the working of the establishment to which the act applies, and within which employment of contract labor is likely to continue for 3 months or more. Now here let us understand first, they are talking about a contract labor first of all, and we have taken an example of say people or contract labor who are working on the site. Now, at times, when you have taken a project and you need to meet deadlines, there are shifts, there are rotational shifts. And say, for example, a contract laborer has to work in night. So, if that particular work has to be completed during night time, and he needs to work in night for more than 3 months continuously, then facilitate this contract labor, some halt facility should be provided only if it is extending till 3 months. If it is a matter of say 2-3 days or say few weeks, then there is no compulsion on following of this rule. And in which employment of a contract labor is likely to continue for 3 months or more, the contractor shall provide and maintain rest rooms or other suitable alternative accommodations within 15 days of the coming into force of the rules in the case of existing establishment, and within 15 days of the commencement of the employment of contract labor in new establishment. So it is both same, whether it is an existing establishment, okay, or whether it is a new establishment which will come into force, within 15 days such arrangements have to be made. So here clearly they are defining about those contract laborers who will work in night shift or during night time, and this will continue for 3 months or more. Contractor have to provide them facilities like restrooms for their rest. Okay, and within 15 days, whether it is existing establishment or whether it is a new establishment, 15 days rules remain same for both. and separate rooms shall be provided for women employees. So in case there are men's and women's both employees working in night shifts, then this restroom arrangements which a contractor is going to make, they have to make two restrooms, one for men and one for women. Talking about canteen facilities, in every establishment to which the act applies and wherein work regarding the employment of contract labor is likely to continue for 6 months and wherein contract labor numbering 100 or more are ordinarily employed. Now here we are not only having such provisions which are talking about contract labor, but we are talking about those establishment, first of all, which establishment who is falling under this act, who is hiring more than 20 full-time employees. And secondly, we are talking about if an establishment is hiring more than 100 or more ordinarily employed workmen, that means full-time workmen. Apart from that, all contract laborers, we are not putting any restriction on number of contract laborers. But here, if you are hiring full-time workmen and that crosses 100, then there is a liability on or compulsion on the employer to provide canteen facility. And when we talk about contract labors, if the contract period or the labor is going to work for more than 6 months in that particular establishment, these facilities have to be provided to labor or contract labor as well. So here we are talking about both full-time workers and contract labors. More are ordinarily employed and adequate canteen shall be provided by the contractor for the use of such contract labor within 60 days of the date of coming into force of the rules in the case of existing establishment and within 60 days of the commencement of employment of contract labor in case of new establishment. So as earlier also in this particular rule, the number of days specified for existing establishment and new establishment both are same, that is 16 days. So within this prescribed limit, they are supposed to provide for better canteen facilities to their employees or workers. Whether they are contract workers, then it becomes a responsibility of a contractor. And it is applicable for primary employer when the number exceeds 100. Section 18, other facilities. It shall be the duty of every contractor employing contract labor in connection with the work of an establishment to which the act applies to provide and maintain, first is sufficient drinking water for the contract labor at convenient places, a sufficient number of latrines and urinals of the prescribed type so suited as to be convenient and accessible to the contract labor in the establishment. Now here we are talking about all those responsibilities of contract labor, and the contractor will be providing these facilities to the contract labor. That is wholesome drinking water as discussed in the earlier point, then sufficient number of washrooms facilities, washing facilities, first aid facilities, one box for 150 contract laborers. That means if the number of contract laborers exceed 150, then accordingly the number of first aid box will also increase. So if it is say 150, then one first aid box is enough. Now say for example there are 160 contract laborers working, then there will be two first aid box. One box for 150 contract laborers that shall be provided and maintained by the contractor so as to be readily accessible during all working hours. A first aid box equipped with the prescribed contents at every place where contract labor is employed by him. Now what will be contained in the first aid box, that is whenever some minor injuries are being caused by the contract labor at the workplace, it needs to be get it done on the place itself. So the requirement of first aid box is being mandatory. And talking about more than 150, the number of first aid box will be increased. But also the contents of first aid box, what all should be included in that first aid box is defined in section 19. So accordingly, a contractor has to always have a first aid box during all the working hours. Section 28 talks about inspecting staff. As we have already discussed earlier also, that all the policies, well-planned policies, well-implemented policies fail because there is no control mechanism. But here, to have a control and strict mechanism, we have inspecting staff who on regular basis will supervise on or will check on varieties of registers maintained by principal employer and contractor or not, whether they are provided with all those welfare facilities which are being listed in this act or not, etc. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, appoint such persons as it thinks fit to be inspectors for the purpose of this act and define the local limits within which they shall exercise their powers under this act. So now say every inspector will be given a local limit wherein he will be acting as a supervisor, or he will be in charge of supervising such registers, timely maintenance of registers and the welfare facilities provided to the laborers or not, and the limits will be set. And number of inspectors may be depending on the requirement. As they think fit, they will increase the number of inspectors. Talking about powers of inspectors, he can enter at all reasonable hours with such assistance, if any required. That means now, if the inspector requires to be assisted by someone, he may definitely enter into any establishment during any working hour to inspect the registers, records which are to be maintained, whenever there are number of contractors hired by the establishment, etc. So, being person in the service of the government or any local or other public authority as he thinks fit, any premises or place where contract labor is employed. So, here we are talking about the authority to enter into the establishment only where contract laborers are employed. For the purpose of examining any register or record or notice required to be kept or exhibited by or under this act or rules made thereunder, and require the production thereof for inspection. So, inspector has that authority to demand for any such register and records to be inspected. So, anytime whenever during the working hours he enter, he will check whether the notices which needs to be displayed for the communication purpose are being displayed or not, registers which are mentioned in the act are being maintained or not. Then talking about payment of wages and other things, he will also check whether the registers are maintained genuinely or not. Examine any person whom he finds in any such premises or place and who he has reasonable cause to believe is a workman employed therein. That means he may take a feedback from any particular workman working in the company or industry, and the selection there are no selection criteria as such. So he may ask questions to any employee worker working in the industry regarding payment of wages, whether your employer provides you with all the welfare facilities, etc. So he may also ask such questions to the employees or workers working on the floor. Require any person giving out work and any workman to give any information which is in his power to give with respect to the names and addresses of the person to, for and from whom the work is given out or received, and with respect to the payment to be made for the work. So regarding all this, he can take out information from the workers working on the floor. Not only that, but along with the name and addresses of those person. Seize or take copies of such registers, records of wages or notices or portions thereof as he may consider relevant in respect of an offence under this act, which he has reason to believe has been committed by the principal employer or contractor. And this point is talking about in case during the course of inspection, if the inspector finds anything fishy about maintaining the register, any fraud or say non-compliance of the provision, then he may seize or he may take the register under his supervision. He may seize the register, maybe full or portion of it which is required. Now say for example, out of the 12 registers, 6 are genuinely maintained, but there is something or the information which is being maintained in the other 6 registers is not up to the mark, and he finds something wrong in that registers, he may take that registers and records. Exercise such other powers as may be prescribed. So not only this, there are several other powers or authorities being given to the inspectors. So as and when required, he can exercise those powers. So here we understand through this Contract Labour Regulation and Abolition Act 1970 that there are some establishments wherein it is mandatory for them to hire contract labourers, because it is not practically possible for them to hire every employee as a full-time employee or on a payroll. So if such requirement is there, we cannot force the employer to abolish such contract labour in their organization. But then to safeguard and protect the interest of the contract labor, there are some provisions made in this act which will help them to get the minimum requirement of wages, timely wage payment, etc., which will also protect in case the contractor is a fraud. And there will be some industries who will be on direct supervision of the government through their inspectors exercising their powers on timely basis. So we have a proper check and control, and there are some also provisions which are binding on contractors and employers as well. So here definitely we are looking forward to safeguard the interest of the contract labor, who should not be deprived of those benefits which are being given to full-time labor. Thank you very much.